Welcome to the fourth episode of our podcast series for advisors considering independence. Today's episode is the RIA space, Freedom and Flexibility Maximized. I'm Mindy Diamond, and this is Mindy Diamond on Independence. This podcast is available on our website, diamond-consultants.com, and on wealthmanagement.com, as well as iTunes and other resources. The term independent is a misnomer because it implies being alone on an island with no support. The truth is that nothing is further from the truth, especially in today's independent landscape. Today's independent space is all about support, varying degrees of support, where the advisor gets to decide just how much support or how independent he or she wants to be. In fact, the whole cottage industry has been born to scaffold or support the newly minted entrepreneurial breakaway advisor. Again, to define the term breakaway advisor or breakaway broker is the advisor that had worked as an employee, as a W-2 employee for a traditional brokerage firm, and chooses to break away and go independent. This cottage industry allows an advisor to essentially break away, become an entrepreneur, and feel comfortable and confident that he or she can replicate anything and everything that they were able to offer clients and needed to run their business as a traditional W-2 employee. Because the industry is yet to come up with a better descriptor for this new space, the independent space, we'll continue to use the term independent, and we'll use it to reference any model that either allows an advisor to have 1099 status, independent business ownership status, or one that's an alternative to the traditional brokerage employee model. And so, for example, when we talk about independence, I'm even including models like First Republic Wealth Management or Snowden Lane, which are models where the advisors who associate with them are W-2 employees, same as they are if they worked for Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley. But advisors in these models have much more freedom and control than an advisor working for a traditional brokerage firm, and assets are custodied in these models at third-party custodians. In this episode, we'll focus specifically on the RIA, Registered Investment Advisor model, or hybrid model, which is an advisor that has predominantly fee-based business, who runs his RIA or his fee-based business through a custodian and relies on what we will define as a friendly broker-dealer for the commission-based business that runs through it. And again, we'll discuss all of these terms in greater detail as we move forward. We've talked in past episodes about the importance of strategic exploration, essentially beginning with the end in mind, an advisor clearly defining what it is they want their future to look like, and then strategically choosing the steps that it will take in order to get there. It's a big leap, especially when an advisor is thinking about leaving the traditional brokerage model and going some version of independence. And so before we define the space and talk about what it means, let's clarify a few things. One, most advisors who explore take an a la carte menu approach to exploration because no one is ever, or probably very few are ever, 100% certain that independence, especially full-on independence, is right for them. Two, in this a la carte menu approach, they'll begin by looking at one or more independent broker-dealers and one or more options in the RIA space in order first to determine which of the two models is best for them, and then to expand the exploration in the category that feels the most right. Meaning, if they choose, they believe they like the independent broker-dealer model more, then during exploration, they'll focus more on adding more independent broker-dealers to the mix and vice versa in the RIA space. Three, even though many advisors today are sure or pretty sure they want independence, most will even look at other wirehouses or traditional brokerage firms like the regional firms. One, because you'd be surprised how many people start out pretty sure they want independence and pretty clear about, I'm never going to another wirehouse, and in the end, going to another wirehouse simply because independence, when they fully vetted it, they realized was something not really for them. And two, because the money being offered in the traditional space up front is compelling. And even though deals are lower, transition money being offered is lower than it once was, it's still pretty compelling. And independence, especially in the RIA space, is much less about transition money up front and much more about building an enterprise with superior take-home economics. Four, the playing field's been leveled lately, independence versus the traditional employee-based models. One, because a lot of the firms, especially the wirehouses, have chosen to retrench on recruiting and focus their efforts strictly on top of the food chain folks. And two, because the transition packages that those firms are offering are way off or down considerably from their high watermark status. Five, for sure, independence is where the puck is heading. You will continue to see more and more traditional advisors heading towards some version of independence. Certainly not everyone, certainly doesn't mean that traditional recruiting in the traditional space is dead, but you will continue to see more and more super high quality teams moving towards some version of independence. Six, the independent landscape looks entirely different than it did 3 or 5 years ago. And so if you vetted independence in any form years ago and just presumed that it wasn't for you, or are operating under the notion that what it was 3 or 5 years ago is what it still is today, you might be best served to revisit it because there are many more options and many more capabilities and this whole cottage industry born to support the breakaway advisor. And seven, and this one's pretty important, service providers are a new entrant to the space. It's a whole new category, if you will, a completion strategy, essentially, that allows an advisor to be fully independent, NRIA or RIA hybrid, but leverage a service provider that is essentially like hitting the easy button to get them from here to there. And those service providers add turnkey middle and back office support so that the advisor can focus strictly on relationship and asset management, business as usual, if you will, and the service provider handles everything else. Let's define what an RIA is and an RIA hybrid. So the registered investment advisor, or RIA space, offers the maximum in freedom, independence, control, customization, open architecture, and client-centric holistic practice capabilities. It offers the separation of custody, product manufacturing, and advice, meaning where the advisor and how the advisor accesses platform is separated from the advisor and further separated from where assets are custodied, meaning a friendly broker-dealer and/or an institutional custodian. Secondly, in this buy-side model, the advisor essentially becomes an institutional client of the street and has the ultimate say as to where clients' assets are custodied and who manages them. Three, advisors can provide a pricing model that is easier to understand and completely customized and appropriate for the advisor's client base. Next, most advisors who choose to leave the traditional brokerage space are not entirely fee-based. And so most, if they choose the RIA space, will become what we call a hybrid RIA, which is essentially an advisor who holds asset at an institutional custodian and uses what we call a friendly broker-dealer, a broker-dealer that only takes a scrape on the commissionable assets that runs through it. So that, again, the fee-based assets are held at an institutional custodian, an advisor uses a friendly broker-dealer versus an overarching broker-dealer to run commission-based business through. The dual registration allows advisors to operate both a fee and a commission-based practice. And finally, of note, the now mainstream focus on the fiduciary mindset, which came into view by way of the DOL rule, explains why the RIA space is where the puck is heading. Clients essentially expect their advisors to act as fiduciaries, to put their interests first, and that is the very definition of what it means to be an RIA. Let's focus next on what the RIA experience is like. So first and foremost, it's much more long-term focused. It's for the advisor that's most interested in building an enterprise and maximizing enterprise value and is interested in adding inorganic growth, recruiting and acquisition to the mix. Because the advisor who is an RIA controls his practice and is fully responsible for its success and failure. It certainly requires a level of self-confidence and confidence in growth and trajectory because it is a much more independent model. It's also an advisor that probably has a greater risk tolerance as well. The advisor controls his or her own compliance and oversight and has the freedom to set the fees for advice, charge for financial planning, charge for loan management, offer concierge services and charge for them, and engage freely in outside business activity. This can also translate into spending more time on the business instead of in it. And so unless the advisor or principal is prepared for that or willing to outsource some of those middle and back office responsibilities, it can be a deal breaker or a reason to eliminate the choice for some. Next, as an RIA, an advisor can be multi-custodial, meaning an advisor can choose to custody assets all at Fidelity or use Fidelity, Schwab, Pershing, TD, or any combination thereof. And finally, again, an advisor can use this friendly broker-dealer as a way of accommodating commission-based business. So let's get down now to some of the details. What are the key characteristics of the RIA space? One, little to no upfront money, but it's always possible to take on an investor or access a loan for startup capital. What's important to note is that the custodians, again, firms like Fidelity, Pershing, Schwab, and TD, do offer soft dollars to top teams. Secondly, payouts, net take-home pay, starts at 100% with an expected 30 to 35%, depending upon the market, of gross revenues going to the cost of doing business. Favorable long-term economics, which we will discuss in a future episode, is one of the main drivers. The notion of building an enterprise that can be maximized at day's end is probably the biggest driver. But again, taking an advisor out of the short-term mindset and asking him to focus more on building something long-term can be scary and a deal breaker for some. Next is probably the most important. It's about the ability to shop the street. Essentially, advisors in the brokerage space believe that they operate in an open architecture setting. It might be open architecture enough, but it's not true open architecture. An RIA has the ability to shop the street to create competition for price and service for virtually anything, for loans, for insurance, for trust capabilities, for investment banking capabilities, for any sort of investment management capabilities, for concierge services, and the like. We'll talk in a later episode about the service providers, but it's worth mentioning that one of the reasons that a model like Dynasty Financial Partners arguably the leading service provider in the space, has done so incredibly well because they formed relationships with a consortium of banks, for example, that affiliated advisors can leverage easily and seamlessly for any lending needs. Next, advisors retain operating leverage, the notion that as they increase revenue, they don't necessarily increase expenses, and the advisor captures that operating leverage as opposed to in the traditional space where the operating leverage goes to the firm. And finally, as we've mentioned before, the RIA space is unequivocally the ideal way to maximize enterprise value and grow inorganically. So let's move now to contrasting the independent broker-dealer space to the RIA space and talk about some of the pros and cons. Again, the independent broker-dealer space offers transition money plus more scaffolding and support and will feel more familiar to the breakaway advisor. But for the most part, sophisticated buyers and sellers don't look to the IBD space or independent broker-dealer space to buy or sell because they don't want to be limited by whatever limitations the broker-dealer puts on the advisor, and they don't want to have to deal with the tariff that the broker-dealer charges, the cost of associating with the broker-dealer. So the best way to maximize enterprise value, if that's the focus, is to look toward the RIA or RIA hybrid space. Thirdly, the community can often be wrong in the independent broker-dealer space because for most broker-dealers, the core constituency is the $400,000 to $700,000 advisor. Next, the independent broker-dealer space can be limiting because advisors must use the platform and technology that the broker-dealer makes available to them. So advisors that are looking to really offer bespoke services or a multifamily office type experience can often feel limited in the broker-dealer world. Oftentimes, advisors who get their taste of independent in the broker-dealer world will look to pivot next as a next step to the RIA space because what they get in the RIA space is superior economics. They eliminate the baked-in costs and haircuts from the broker-dealer. They can hold themselves out as a true fiduciary. They can become a multifamily office and offer a more customized, high-touch concierge experience. They will definitely have more choice in platform and technology. They will have the opportunity to maximize enterprise value. And they will have synergy with a more sophisticated and like-minded community. More enterprise builders. There's a lot more on this topic on our website, and you can visit our site at diamond-consultants.com and click on the podcast link. You'll find there a link to an article on this very topic entitled Five Key Reasons Why Independent Broker-Dealer Advisors Are Moving to the RIA World, written by my husband and partner, Howard Diamond. So while there may be clear advantages to the RIA space over the independent broker-dealer world, still many advisors are much more comfortable, and rightly so, in the brokerage world, full service or independent, because they're just not ready for full independence and are willing to sacrifice the sexier economics for more support, scaffolding, and transition money. And there are countless examples of advisors we've worked with that started out thinking they want maximum independence and found out that it was just too much to take on right now and instead chose either to stay within the traditional W-2 space or to go something with a softer landing like the independent broker-dealer space. So over the course of these past four episodes, we took a deep dive into the independent space, exploring the mindset of the independent advisor and offering examples of the unique characteristics of the different variants within the space. With so much that has changed and expanded in the landscape, and more changes to come for sure, the independent model has certainly grown to become a strong and legitimate option for advisors seeking greater freedom and flexibility. I'm really excited about our next episode, episode 5, where I will chat with an independent advisor who's made the leap to get a better understanding of the process he went through, how he came to land on independence, and ask him the all-important question, would he do it all over again? I think it'll be an episode that'll help many advisors connect the dots in real life between where they are and where they want to be. So I hope you'll join us. Until then, I encourage you to visit our website, diamond-consultants.com, and click on the Tools and Resources link for some valuable content. And if you're not already a recipient of our weekly email, Perspectives for Advisors, click on the blog link to browse recent articles. You can always feel free to call me at 908-879-1002 or email me directly at mdiamond@diamond-consultants.com. Please always know that requests are handled with complete discretion and confidentiality. I thank you for listening. I also want to thank wealthmanagement.com for sharing this podcast with their viewers and subscribers. This is Mindy Diamond on Independence.